Left Hand laughed. We are having the same strange dream because I heard that coyote ask for our meat. It is not a dream, realized Seize the Bear. Look how thin she is, and she is old. I cannot help her, sniffed Left Hand. We must take this meat home to our relatives. They are hungry too. We cannot let her and her family starve, said Seize the Bear. The spirits were kind to us by sending this great deer. We can share a little of it. So saying, he sliced off a strip from the hindquarter and tossed it to the coyote. Listen at night, and my family will sing our gratefulness, coyote said as she took the meat and disappeared into the darkness. That was a foolish thing to do, said Left Hand. 2 days later, as the hunters rested at midday, a flock of magpies alighted in the branches around them. We are hungry, one of them said. It is winter, Left Hand replied angrily. Winter is a time of hunger. Our people wait for this meat that we have killed. They are very hungry. The wolves took the insides of the deer you left behind, said the head magpie. They left us a little, but it was only a very little. We are hungry. Before Left Hand could stop him, Seize the Bear cut several thin strips of meat and tossed them to the magpies. Cawing loudly, they swooped from the trees and took the meat. You are kind, said the head magpie. We will repay you. Hereafter, if you do not see us or hear us, it will be a sign of hard times. If there is to be plenty, we will come and announce it. Then the magpies were gone as quickly as they had come. That was a foolish thing to do, said Left Hand. They traveled as far as they could each day, of course, making camp as the sun went down, and then starting again as the dawn broke. Dragging the deer on poles across deep snow was not easy, but they knew their relatives were waiting, and who knew if they had found anything to eat while the hunters were away. As they stopped briefly to rest, a gray, shadowy form approached through the trees. It was a large wolf, and he had a badly injured foot. The hunters were worried. They had never seen a wolf so close. If you are here to ask for meat, we cannot give any more, shouted Left Hand. I am sad to hear you, said the wolf. As you can see, I have hurt my foot, and although I have been able to find the deer, I cannot chase them. My wife has given birth, and I must take her fresh meat so that she can suckle the young ones. Our story is sad as well, replied Left Hand. Our people are starving. They have not eaten for many, many days. Yes, said the wolf. The winter has been hard for all of us. And I thought there may be kindness in your hearts. There is, said Seize the Bear. We have just enough to share. In spite of Left Hand's protests, he sliced off a chunk of meat and tossed it to the wolf. I am grateful, said Wolf. For your kindness, you shall have my skill as a hunter. Left Hand was angry. See what you have done, he shouted. You have given away most of our meat. What will we tell our people? They sent us out because we are the best hunters. We are fortunate that this deer fell into that gully full of snow. If he had not, we would be freezing to death somewhere. Yet you have given meat to every beggar who has come to you. I will tell them the truth, replied Seize the Bear. The old ones have taught us that it is good to share. Is that not the truth? No more, shouted Left Hand. There is barely enough to feed our people now. They traveled in silence thereafter, with Left Hand hanging on to his anger. They made camp in the shelter of an old riverbank. I think we are one more day's walk from our lodges, Seize the Bear said. Left Hand gathered firewood and kept his silence. It was a fox who came next. That night, while Seize the Bear was on watch and Left Hand was sleeping. I have never seen such a hard winter, he said. The snow is so deep, it is difficult for me with my small feet. The rabbit can run on top of the snow while I sink in. I wonder if you would be so kind as to give me some of your meat. Seize the Bear glanced at Left Hand sleeping soundly beneath his robe. remembering the younger man's anger. "Yes," he whispered to the fox, "I think there is enough to share." Thereupon he sliced off some succulent ribs and gave them to the fox. "I am grateful," said Fox. "My people are very skilled at hiding. For your kindness, that skill shall be yours." In the morning, of course, Left Hand could see immediately that more of the deer was gone, and his anger burst like the sudden flight of the prairie grouse. "I cannot travel with you any longer," he said. "You have given away most of the meat. What will we give to our people?"
"There is enough," insisted Seize the Bear.
"There is not enough for us all," shouted Left Hand. "I am returning to our lodges alone, ahead of you. I must tell our old men what you have done. See that you do not give away any more of our food. I will bring some young men to help carry what is left." True to his word, Left Hand departed angrily. Seize the Bear was left to struggle with the deer. Traveling on the ice or frozen streams, he was able to make some progress, but it was still very difficult to drag the deer by himself. The first night alone, he was so exhausted he built a snow cave and slept without a fire. As he was preparing to travel the next morning, he came across a hawk with an injured wing. "What has happened to you?" asked Seize the Bear. The hawk flashed his great yellow eyes. "I fought with the short-tailed cat. He attacked me after I had caught a rabbit. Now I cannot fly until my wing is strong again. I have not eaten in many, many days." Seize the Bear gave the hawk a chunk of deer meat. He hung it up in a tree so the hawk could be safe away from other hunters. "I am grateful," said the hawk. "I have not seen your kind of people here." "We have come from the north," said Seize the Bear. "The winters were very hard, and the great curved horned deer moved away. To keep from starving, we had to move also. After traveling for many, many days, we came to a forest and pitched our lodges. We were out of food, so our people sent two of us out to hunt. We hunted until our food ran out, and then we killed this deer. He had trapped himself in deep snow. Follow this forest until you come to the lake country," advised the hawk. "The hunting there is very good. The forests are filled with large and small deer. When the snows melt, you can catch fish from the lakes." "Thank you," said Seize the Bear. "My people will be glad to hear that news." That afternoon, he reached his people's lodges. He hid what was left of the deer in an old hollow tree and entered the camp. The old men, the leaders, were waiting for him. "Left Hand has told us what has happened," he was told. "Now it is for you to speak for your side of the story." Seize the Bear did not hold back the truth and told everything as it happened. "We have brought back meat," he said, "and I think it will make us strong enough to travel south. The hawk told me that the hunting in the lake country is very good." "Some food is better than nothing," one of the old men said. "And if your friend the hawk tells the truth, we can build our new homes in the lake country." Seize the Bear felt very sad to see the disappointed faces of his people. There would be enough food to go around, but there would have been more if he had not given much of it away. With his head hanging down, he led the men to where the meat was hidden. "In that hollow tree," he said, "it is there." Left Hand was the first in, and he grabbed the deer's leg and pulled. It was very heavy, so he asked for help. Finally, four young men had to pull the deer out of the tree. To everyone's great surprise, the deer was whole. "This cannot be," cried Left Hand. "There was barely half when I left him yesterday. I cannot understand this." As the men stood around looking at the carcass of the gray deer, there appeared a ghostly white form of a great deer with very large forked antlers. The men backed away in fear. "I am the deer who live in the forest," said the great white deer. "There are many of us, and our flesh will give you strength. We ask in return that you always show us your gratefulness for the gift of our life. If you do this, we'll always be here to help you. Generosity is a good thing to have, for we are all travelers together on this earth." The great white deer disappeared into the forest. The men returned to the camp with the deer, and that night there was a great feast. Somehow, there was more than enough meat to go around, and some to save as well. Seize the Bear was honored, and he was given the new name of Brings the Deer. After he had rested, he hunted again, and returned with another deer. And, as the great white deer had asked, he paused at the body of the dead gray deer and spoke a word of thanksgiving. The people were strengthened and were anxious to travel. When the warm spring winds melted the last snows, they broke camp and went south. There they found the land of plenty the hawk had described to the man whose name was now Brings the Deer. Brings the Deer became the most skillful hunter the people had ever seen. It seemed as though he had powers and abilities that no other man had, and through his life, he always seemed to know when hard times lay ahead. He was seen to toss scraps of meat to the magpies that came around the village. Soon all the people did likewise. And it was said of him that he would smile whenever the coyotes sang their evening songs. Left Hand had a difficult life. He was nearly killed by a bear one summer, and almost drowned while trying to spear fish. More than that, strange things seemed to happen to him more than to anyone else. Once, a great wind came with a rainstorm, and the only lodge in the village blown over was his. Many wondered quietly why it was that his bows broke quite often during a hunt. Perhaps it was because of the difficulties that visited his life that Left Hand didn't smile very often. Many men hunted with Brings the Deer, and many brought their sons to him so that they could learn his skills. There was a small ritual that he taught everyone. Each time a deer was killed in the hunt, he would pause for a quiet moment, and then he would lay down a bundle of sage as an offering. To this day, there are still Lakota hunters who pause to speak a word of thanksgiving for the gift of the life of a deer.